The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Real. Real. Relaxed. Relaxed. But relevant. But relevant. She's an absolute professional with the homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Foy Palmer, where she will discuss both religious and secular topics with various guests from all walks of life. So thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
And top of the morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a wonderful day to be alive. And we are celebrating stellar women this month, and the Women's History Month. I have a fabulous guest that is ready to talk with me and to you in just a moment. Right now, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor.
Are you in need of primary care services where you feel like family? Do you want to go to a place with a caring and passionate staff that cares about you and wants to make sure that you receive all of your services not only in one place, but you holistically become better? Let me suggest Dedicated Senior Medical Center. Hi, this is Bishop Mary, and I need you to get to one of the five locations throughout the city of Philadelphia. North Philly, West Philly, South Philly, Mayfair, and Allegheny. They will be happy to receive you. Now, to qualify, you must be 55 and older and have the Medicare Advantage plan. And if you don't, they have somebody there that'll be able to help you get on board. So try Dedicated Senior Medical Center at a location near you today. And know that when you call the Dedicated Difference, you won't be disappointed.
Hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
Gonna put a praise on it. Yeah. Oh, what a way to get the morning started. Good God, if your blood ain't running after that, I don't know, pinch yourself. And we are excited to have with me today the youngest African-American woman elected to city council, my soror and my friend, the Honorable Catherine Gilmore Richardson. Good morning.
Good morning, Archbishop Mary Floyd Palmer. It's so good to be with you. Happy Monday.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And, of course, I was really, really excited. And thank you so much for choosing to be on this show. You are legendary, and we are honoring great women this month in Women's History Month. And, of course, you're historic because, as I opened up by saying, you are the youngest African-American woman elected to city council. So why don't you just give those who are listening, who might have heard your name, I'm sure they have, but just who a little snapshot of Catherine Gilmore Richardson is.
Yes. Well, first, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to be with you this morning and for all of the work you do with us as a trusted, valuable partner with members of Philadelphia City Council and for the inspiring invocation you gave in Philadelphia City Council this year. But I'm Councilmember Catherine Gilmore Richardson, currently serving my very first term as a member of Philadelphia City Council. And as you stated, I am the youngest woman ever elected citywide to city council and the youngest African-American woman ever elected to the council. Wow. But prior to being a member of city council, I was privileged to serve as an intern and a volunteer for former council member Blondell Reynolds Brown. Mm-hmm. I met her 23 years ago this wow. year. When I was in high school and she had come back to the Philadelphia High School for Girls, which is our alma mater.
Ours, yay!
Yes.
CHS!
Yes. And she came back to talk to us about her career and just her life and the service she was slated to render to the city. She had just been elected to city council, but not yet sworn in. This was in 1999. And so after her inauguration, I was able to serve both in her office and then also on her campaign side as an intern and a volunteer. And then when I was in graduate school in 2006, my graduate advisor said, Kathy, I cannot allow you to graduate from this program without an internship. And I was taking up my master's in public administration. And so he said, do you know a political office or a government office where you can intern? And I said, yes, the office of Councilmember Blondell Reynolds Brown in Philadelphia. And he said, well, do you know anyone? I said, well, I know the councilwoman. So I was able to serve as a graduate intern in her office my last semester in graduate school. And so I worked full time, 8 hours a day, 3 days a week. And in between that time, I would take a nap after working before class. And then I would catch the bus home from City Hall and then get in my car and drive out to Westchester 3 nights a week. Wow. So I could finish school that particular semester. And after that, I worked as a teacher for a while. I taught math and computer science at Overbrook High School in West Philadelphia, and I also worked at the University of Pennsylvania Health System as a unit secretary and as a staffing coordinator. But after that time, the councilwoman had an opening in her office for constituent services. Mm-hmm. And she asked if I wanted to join the team full time. And so I was blessed to join the team in 2008 full time. And I served in every position you can have in city council as a staffer, except communications. Wow. And so when the councilman decided not to seek reelection, my phone started ringing off the hook and everybody said, Kathy, you have to do this. And people from the community were calling me and literally I could barely hang up the phone before another person from the community was calling me. And because it was from the community and the people I've worked with in the community for years and have served for years, you know, I went home, I talked to my husband and we prayed about it and we made the decision to seek election to Philadelphia City Council. And, you know, we were able to be successful and I was inaugurated in 2020 just before COVID-19.
Wow, what a story. And it's amazing. You mentioned your husband, who is, of course, the love of your life. I absolutely want to assume that, although they said make no assumptions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would not be here if it were not for him.
And you're married and with children.
Yeah.
All while working. And how many precious babies do you have? Because you are a proud mama. God knows it.
Yes, we have three children. And I always say, and this was my motto since 2019, hashtag moms get the job done. Because we all rise to the occasion each and every day to get the job done, not only for our children and for our family and being a wife and, you know, being, you know, there for our husband and our families, but also for the constituents and the people we serve. Because your family is a part of that journey. I mean, we can't go to the supermarket or to the store or, you know, take a walk in the neighborhood without us seeing someone, right? Who may need service. And my family is a part of that journey. They're with me each and every day. My husband drove me on the campaign almost every single night.
Wow.
Almost every night. He would come home from work and he said, okay, Kathy, where are we going today? And whether it was four stops or 20 stops, he was with me every single day.
I know that's right. I know that's right. My wife ain't riding around the city doing this by herself. I know that's right. And so being a product of the public school, of course, we are not only sisters in our sorority of Zeta Phi Beta. Woo, woo. But we're also sisters from Girls High. Although my graduating year was considerably older.
Let me put it that way.
Season. Season than you as my baby sister. That's what I want to call you. My baby sister from the elite and prestigious Philadelphia High School for Girls. Because when I was in, they did not play. You had a minimum of 4 hours of homework a night. A minimum.
Oh, for sure. At least. Okay, and that's on a good day.
But my father and my mother were crazy. I had to be in early for music and then in athletics after school. So I was there all day and then from there to church. So, that was six nights a week.
That's my life.
That was my life, I'm telling you. But now that you are in this place, and education is such a big issue, particularly in Philadelphia, and I'm not sure which committees, or maybe I should ask you, which committees do you serve on with the city council?
Sure. Well, I have to stop and pause to talk about education, because as you stated, I am a product of the Philadelphia public school system, proud product of the Philadelphia public school system, via Gompers Elementary School, Maston Middle School, and the Philadelphia High School for Girls. And I think right now we are really at a pivotal moment with education in Philadelphia, with Dr. Height departing after 10 years and going through the process of the selection of a new superintendent, which is really done at the level of the board, of the school board, and trying to seek input and feedback from families, but ensuring that we can get a superintendent who understands we need a vision for education and for the future of education in Philadelphia. Someone who understands that with the lack of resources we receive from the state level of government, which obviously we're currently in court around the fair funding formula. But with the lack of resources we receive, we have to be innovative in what we do for our children. Because 10 years, a 10-year tenure for any one person could be the lifetime of a young person's academic career.
That's correct.
And we have to ensure that we are doing all we can to give them the necessary resources for them to thrive after they leave school, whether they go to college or pursue a career. And that's where we are. We have to make sure our young people can read on grade level.
Yes.
We have to make sure they have the math skills to compete in this new and ever-changing world, including technology. We have to ensure that from a district perspective, we are coming up with curriculum programs, particularly on the career and technical education side, that meet the demand of the job market here in Philadelphia. How are we looking at our job market 3, 5, 10 years out to determine what are the most important programs that we have to get our young people involved with so that we can get more of our young people in the pipeline and on a pathway to these family supporting and sustaining job opportunities that we know are here in Philadelphia mm-hmm. and the ones that are constantly coming, particularly in the biotech field, cell and immunogene therapy. There's been an explosion of companies setting up right here in the city of Philadelphia, and those are what we call middle market jobs and positions. We have to get our young people connected to that world. And for the young people who are going to go directly to college, we have to make sure they're ready to compete in a collegiate environment. And then finally, college is not for everyone. And for young people who want to have an honorable career in the trades, how are we working to get our young people connected to trade opportunities, not just young men, but young women as well, to get them involved in what we call non-traditional careers in the trades in the city of Philadelphia. And so that's the type of work I've been doing as a member of council. We have an apprenticeship guidebook that we put out that details every apprenticeship program in the city from all of our partners in the trades. And we release that book annually with all the information from qualifications to requirements, the application process, the deadlines. And we give that out to all of our young people and everyone who's just seeking to reskill and upskill and have a new and different opportunity. So back to your other question relative to the committee assignments. So I'm on the Commerce and Economic Committee, Economic Development. I'm chair of City Council's Committee on the Environment. All members of council are members of the Ethics Committee. Mm-hmm. All members of council are members of the Fiscal Stability and Intergovernmental Cooperation Committee. I'm also a member of Global Opportunities and the Creative and Innovative Economy. I'm a member of the Housing Committee, also a member of Labor and Civil Service. Also a member of Licenses and Inspections, also a member of the Committee with People with Disabilities and Special Needs. I am also a member of our Rules Committee, and the Rules Committee is very important because that's the committee that makes recommendations designed to improve and or expedite all of the business here happening in the city. And all of matters relating to development and zoning, all of the matters around the city's planning commission, the housing and redevelopment authority, the art commission, and so many other things come through the rules committee. So that's a very, very important committee.
It sure is.
I'm also a member of the streets and services committee. And finally, as I stated before, not only do I chair council's committee on the environment, I'm also a member of the Local Government Advisory Committee for the United States Environmental Protection Agency, which is separate from the committee assignments and council, mm-hmm. but a very important role representing not only the city of Philadelphia, but the only elected official from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So that's just a snapshot of the committee assignments.
Lord, I'm trying to think. Jeez, I lost count after 8. I was like, good God. Jeez, you must have a stellar staff who's able to keep you on point for each one and each meeting. And clearly you have dived in as a council member at large because that encompasses the entire city. Not too long ago, you introduced legislation that resulted in a safe place for young people to speak. Would you mind talking to us about that?
Sure, absolutely. So May of last year, I had introduced legislation to reform our city's curfew laws. We had found that a lot of young people who were involved with incidents in our city were simply out at the wrong place, at the wrong time, with the wrong people. And so that's not every circumstance, but a majority of them involving minors. And so what we wanted to do was simplify the curfew laws in Philadelphia, because previously You had three different age groups. You had a different time, whether it was the weekday versus the weekend, whether it was school time or summer. And it was very difficult for the police department to enforce because it was hard to keep up. Like, okay, what day is it today? You know, is it the weekday? Is it weekend? Right. Oh, wait, is it the school year? Is it summer? And so we wanted to simplify that for the police department to make it easier for them to enforce. And so minors who are 13 and under must be in the house by 9:30 p.m. Minors age 14 and 15 must be in the house by 10, and that's all year round. And then minors 16 and older is midnight. And we got a lot of pushback for that, but I want to explain, because we have a number of young people in our city who have jobs, and their working papers state they could work until 10 or 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And if they work in one location and live in another location and need to be transported home, whether it's via public transportation or, you know, someone picks them up and takes them home, we have to allow them an opportunity to get home, right? And so the times are for 13 and under, 9:30, 14 to 15, 10, and 16 and older, midnight. Now, I will say this. If we see, a spike incidents involving young people, and we need to modify that, I will not have a problem with taking those times down and putting it on the sunset so that we can get control of any issues that may happen. And so as a result of modifying the curfew hours, we wanted to also offer a place for young people to go in our city where they can receive resources, where they can get together with other young people, have a good time. Some of our curfew centers or even resource centers, we call them now, we have game rooms. They have a computer and technology room. One of the center has a drone training program. And so they get connected to a number of resources that could really help them in their lives and their families, but also have an opportunity to have fun as well. They have movie nights. They have nights where they make food together. It's just a wonderful environment to be in if a young person does not have anything to do. And as of right now, I was able to fight for about $2 million in funding in our last budget cycle. We are working on a total of three centers. So two have already opened, one located in South Philadelphia at Dixon House on South 20th Street, and I was able to visit that location. And then the second location is located at Community of Compassion, CDC, at 62nd and Cedar. And I was also able to visit that location. And then we're working on the third location in what we call our East Division. So that would be around the 7th Council District, sort of in the North Philadelphia area, but on the east side. And so we're working on the third location with Councilmember Sanchez. And then my goal is for this cycle is to work with the Department of Human Services to expand the curfew centers and have centers in North Philadelphia and also in Northwest Philadelphia as well. So we're seeking to have a total of five open by the summertime this year. I'm working very closely with the Department of Human Services and also the Philadelphia Police Department to track the data of curfew violations, to see, you know, where we need to set up a center. And more importantly, about every other week or so, I go out now with the Philadelphia Police Department, and I go out between the hours of like 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., and I go out on the ground with them and just ride around local communities to see how the bill and the legislation is being enforced and to see what other resources we can provide to young people. And so I'm slated to do that again on Friday of this week. And I'm looking forward to going to another area to see, you know, how the bill is working and what more we can do to improve and what additional services we can provide.
Wow. Wow. Kudos to you. Because this, you know, part of the issue with violence is that they say the young people don't have anything or any place to be safe. And if we could get five of them coupled with recreational centers and after school programs that are occurring, it will give them more of an option than into the stuff that seems to draw them in a criminal way. The shootings now with juveniles, by juveniles, against juveniles, against olders. the lack of conflict resolution. I'm thinking about when I went to St. Gabe's to do a motivational speak on conflict resolution for the girls and the guys. And it was amazing to me that it was just a word that caused them to react and escalate a response. And I know that for every action, there is a reaction, but there also has to be tangible ways for us to be able to talk to them. And of course, you know, I pride myself on my dad's history of being able to go into the schools and tell them off, you know, and really let them understand this is a consequence and this could ruin your life. And so conflict resolution isn't just a word. Now it's relating to someone going to go get a gun and come back and shooting you while you're sitting in your car. It's relating to, you know, waiting for you to come outside of a building and shooting you. Domestic violences are up. And so when I see that there is something that's tangibly being done, I say kudos to you. I was aware of it. I mentioned it to 5 people and they didn't seem to know about it. And I was just overwhelmed. I was like, well, what is the marketing? What do we need to do? Because even though it is in Southwest and Southwest Philly, you know, a mother in North Philly said, well, what's that going to do for me? Do they got to go all the way over there? And I said, oh, I'm certain there will be something nearby. There will be something coming in pretty soon. But I'm grateful that there is at least a first step and that it is something that they can tangibly go to. When I grew up, it was PAL. You know, it was the neighborhood Y, the Boys and Girls Club. All of these things that if you didn't have nothing to do, you were somewhere and supervised by people who cared. And I'm particularly concerned about our young people. To that end, as a mother and a wife and as one who is obviously very passionate, I mean, even to do the ride-alongs with the police department, could you speak to those who feel as though, as parents, I don't know what else to do. I'm giving up. I have nothing left. And so when they go to jail, I may or may not get them out. I just don't feel like the elected officials are listening. The judges just want to send them to jail and the police just want to kill them. And that was a question that one young lady just inboxed me and said, I appreciate everything she's saying, but what could she say to me to make me think that there's still hope?
Well, first, just as a parent, as a mother, raising children here in the city of Philadelphia, and all my children go to public school, actually 3 different schools, I completely understand where that parent is coming from. And also as a former teacher, you know, I taught at Overbrook High School, and I've dealt with children where the parents have told me the same thing. But I will say that we need to, at that point, do all that we can for that young person to wrap our arms around them to ensure that they are over-resourced. Because a lot of the young people, you know, before they get involved in any type of incident, they are crying out for some type of help.
Yes.
And whether it is getting them connected to therapy, whether it's getting them connected to a program that actually meets their needs, because not every program meets the needs of a young person, whether it's connecting them to mentorship, whether it's steering them, maybe they need to go to a different school, right? Maybe some young people need to go to a school that helps them, you know, better connect with an area or industry they actually care about, right? Something tangible that they could do. But whatever it is, we need to figure out what it is that they need and over-resource that child before they get involved either with the criminal justice system or the human service system in that regard. And so what I would say to that parent is, you know, if you feel like no one is listening, you can always feel free to reach out to my office. We will work as hard as we can to get your young person connected to the resources they need to help them in that moment, to get them connected to the right place, whether it's therapy, whether it's a program, whether it's an extracurricular activity, whether it's mentorship, whatever it is, we have to figure out what it is and get them connected. And that's something you have to do on a case-by-case basis. You can't look at a sheet and say, oh, we have 100 young people that are ahead. No, you have to actually talk to that young person.
That's right.
Figure out what's going on and see what they need. And I have to do that as a teacher. I have to do that as a parent. You know, just because I'm in this position doesn't mean, you know, that my children are, you know, good all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I had to pick up my daughter from aftercare last week, and she had an incident. I said, well, we're not going to have that.
No, that's right.
And so, you know, I deal with it every day. And so, you know, we just have to figure out what the young person needs, and we will ensure that we get them those resources.
Well, in closing, can you just speak to the strength of family and family support? I heard you talk about your husband and how he supported you. You love your children, but your external family, of which, you know, I'm very close to, and how this has been great for you, and how to treasure that. And that'll be my last question for the day. I know you have another commitment, but I think that people sometimes have to look at the blessings that are around them, whether they are by blood or even by association. So if you wouldn't mind speaking to that, that'd be great.
Sure. Well, first, again, I have to thank you, my soror, Archbishop Mary Floyd Palmer, for this opportunity and just for all the work you do with us and on behalf of the city of Philadelphia. You are historic in your own right, and I'm just honored and privileged to be a part of the same organization as you, in Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. And I will say this, a lot that I have been able to do in my life, a lot that I have learned in my life, the way I'm able to sort of traverse through all of this is because of the lessons I learned becoming a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, and also the sisterhood I share with so many sisters and sorors across not only this city and this state, but across this world.
Yes.
And just being able to cultivate and develop those relationships and learn, not only personally, but professionally, from so many talented, educated, professional women, it has been the honor of my life. And I will tell you this, I know more about Robert's Rule of Order than we use the King version in council.
I know more
about parliamentary procedure than most because of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated.
And
that training came directly from Zeta. I knew nothing about parliamentary procedure when I became a member. And it has just helped me immensely in council sessions. I mean, I can say, you know, motions and different things out of the blue. And folks are like, well, where did she come up with that? And that's because of my training in Zeta. Like, I remember specifically one session, I think it was late last year. And there was debate. It was very rigorous debate happening on the floor. And, you know, it was wonderful, but we needed to move on because it was not germane to all of the, you know, issues we had to tackle for that particular day. And furthermore, you know, after someone speaks three times on an issue, you got to move on, right? But again, that's my training from Zeta. So I call for the orders of the day. And everybody's looking like, this is call for the orders of the day. And that's because of my training.
I know you're right.
Really, the sisterhood has carried me. All of my initial supporters for the campaign were sorors, with my very close soror circle. All of my petitions, we were able to get 8,000 signatures. We had 5,200 good signatures. You only need 1,000 to get on the ballot. And a big part of that was my sorors of Zeta. Without them, I would not be able to do a lot that I do, even with my children helping me out with pickups and drop-offs and just being the village, the village that you need being in this position. It has been wonderful, and I just love each and every one of them because of it. And I look forward to celebrating our boule here in the city of Sisterly Love in July of 2022. I'm so excited. We have not had a convention here in Philadelphia since the year 2000, actually. And I was in high school. And I remember the Zetas or the Women in Blue being in the gallery because I would take the subway from Girls High down to the gallery so I could meet my parents under that 9th Street underpass. Because they
know that's right.
So my parents would come pick me up after school. And I would say, oh, I'll go to the gallery and I can meet you at the 9th Street underpass. And I just remember the time that they were here I went downtown for whatever reason, and I remember seeing all of these women in blue. And that was really like my first interaction with Zeta before mm-hmm. I went to college. And that was the last time Zeta was here for an international convention in Philadelphia. So I'm looking forward to July. I am fully registered, ready to go, proud to serve as a life member, and looking forward to this robust convention we will have in July.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it because I'm telling you, there will be nothing but blue and white in downtown in July. And I'm going to be thick in it with you and the rest of my Soul Rise. Even though I'm an international honorary member, I tell them, listen, don't get it twisted. I got as much stake in this as y'all do.
Yes, you do. And we love you for it. It's wonderful on our celebration. So thank you so much, Soror.
Thank you, sweetheart. Now, how can people get in touch with you?
Sure. So I'm on Facebook at Councilmember Catherine Gilmore Richardson. I'm on Instagram at Councilmember KGR. And I'm on Twitter at Councilwoman KGR.
All right. And if they want to reach your office, phone number?
215-686-0454.
All right, everybody. If you need to reach out to the council member at large, Catherine Gilmore Richardson, it's 215-686-0454. Or hit her up on all the social memes, and I'm sure that she'll get right back to you. Thank you again, my sister, my Sora, my friend. God bless you. Please be safe, be and be well. Love to your family for me.
Yes, love to you as well. Thank you, Soror.
More than a year ago, an invisible and underestimated virus rocked our world, killing more than 2.5 million people worldwide, including more than 579,000 in the United States, and the numbers are still rising. Regardless of race, creed, gender, or economic status, we've lost family, friends, neighbors, and colleagues to this unseen killer that rocked us to our core. But yet, we still had hope. Hope that we held on to by our prayers. Now we have 3 vaccines available to us, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna. In order to make the choices best for you, consider these 3 things. First, you must trust the science. Secondly, trust the influencer. And thirdly, trust the authorized vaccination site administering the vaccine. And please, continue to wear your mask, continue to social distance yourselves, and practice proper cleaning habits. If you do your part, we all will rise victoriously.
Without you, I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it, never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all, but now I see how you were there for me, and I can say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through,
never. Hey, how are you? And we are so grateful to have Miss Carmen Finney on the line with us this morning. How are you, darling?
I'm well. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. That song will get you going.
Yes. Thank you very much for allowing me to be on your station, Archbishop Mary Palmer.
Oh, God bless you, sweetheart. So you are here to talk about Staying Healthy to Prevent Kidney Disease Expo 2022. That is this Saturday at the Doubletree Hotel in Plymouth Meeting. Why don't you tell us how you got started with this expo?
Okay. Well, back in early 2000, I was treated for kidney disease. And I was on the transplant list for 11 years. I was on dialysis for 5. I got a blessing in 2020.
Mm.
On May 3rd, 2020, I received the phone call of a lifetime.
Wow.
From University of Penn that they found a donor.
Wow.
And it was a perfect match.
Wonderful. Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you. God is good all the time.
Mm-hmm. So this is personal for you.
Yes. So after I received my transplant, everything went well. You know, I did have some ups and downs, but God is good all the time. And, you know, we overcame those ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to do, because I was on dialysis for so long, I want to become an advocate for the National Kidney Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So I had so much love and so many prayers and thoughts. I was in their thoughts and prayers. So last year I had a big celebration to celebrate my 1 year kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so much love in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So what I decided to do this year was to give back.
Wow.
So on this Saturday, on March the 19th,
mm-hmm.
I'm having a Staying Healthy to Prevent Kidney Awareness. And it starts, it's an all day affair. It starts at 8:30 and from 8:30 to 5:30. And then we're going to have a party afterwards.
Okay.
So from 8:30 to 9:15, it's a Zumba class. And then after that, I'm going to welcome everybody, tell them about my story, and I'm going to have several speakers there. Two doctors, someone from LA Fitness, someone from Weight Watchers, someone from the National Kidney Foundation. These are all representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And then to give back, starting at 1:30, I'm going to have a yoga class. People can sign up for that. I'm going to have vendors all over, and they're going to be selling their healthy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anything from shea butter to healthy breads. My sister, Nikki, she makes very good zucchini bread and banana nut bread.
All right, you starting me on this morning now. Don't hurt us, sister. I ain't had no coffee, no breakfast. You got me thinking about banana bread. Oh God,
yes.
That was one of my grandmother's favorites. You know, you almost kin to me coming up with that one. Ooh,
yes.
Lord. And so you have yoga at 1:30. I see that you also have makeup artists and facials, massages.
Yes.
And you even going to toast it off with the wine tasting leading to the party. My God, today.
Yes.
Now, listen, I like a good wine. And somebody will say, oh, my God, the preacher wants to drink. Listen, let's be clear. The Bible didn't say not to drink. It said be not drunk with wine. And then in the Old Testament, it said, have a little wine for the stomach's sake. Now, I got to go with what my ancestors did. Come on, somebody. Because they lived a long time from the land that they made into a liquid form. That made them live a long time. They took them grapes, baby.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course, they had a little stronger stuff that some of us don't know how to handle, you know, moonshine and barley and rye, and this, you know. But they lived a good old ripe age. So, you know, yes, obviously these medicines ain't doing it. We might have to take a page from their book for longevity. But I'm just making it light on a Monday morning. That's all.
Yes. Yes.
And so with all of these things going on, you're holistically applying to the people's physical as well as mental, and then hopefully being able to release all of that with a big party.
Yes. Okay. And speaking of moonshine, we're having raffle drawings.
Okay.
And all the proceeds are going to go to the National Kidney Foundation.
Okay.
And I'm having wine, whiskey, white wine, white wine and red wine baskets. I'm having whiskey baskets, and they're going to include moonshine.
Oh, now see, this ain't fair. But I'll talk offline to you. Okay. I don't want to incriminate myself over the FCC airwaves. That's Lord. But nonetheless.
And the raffles are, the baskets are fantastic. My two nieces, Bria and Alicia, and my lovely daughter, Marquita, one of my beautiful sisters, Karen, we all got these raffles and these baskets together yesterday, and they are out of this world.
Oh, man.
They bring, yes, we have baskets for a woman. We have a basket for a man. We have, and the top prize is a 65-inch TV that we're raffling off, but at $50.
And how do you obtain the raffles? And do you have to be present to receive the gift?
Well, we can also, people are sending in donations through my Cash App or my Venmo.
Okay.
And what they can do is if they say they, you know, want to raffle off the TV, put their name on the raffle, and we make sure we have their phone number. If they're not present, we will call them.
Wow. So what is your Cash App?
My Cash App is the $ CARM 721.
CARM 721.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is your
Venmo?
Venmo. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It's the @ Carmen-Finney. Finney, F as in Frank, I-N-N-E-Y. Yep.
Wonderful. And so I'm, you know, the massages, come on, ladies.
And all of that is free because I'm giving back
today.
Yes, I'm giving back for all the love and prayers that people have given me.
Wow.
So I'm giving it back. And like I said, only thing I'm asking for is to donate towards the raffle. And like I said, the raffles will go anywhere from $10 on up to $50. I'm also giving away Sixers tickets along with that. That's on the money tray. So that's the Sixers tickets along with a variety of gift cards.
Okay.
And I believe that's going for $50.
Okay. All right.
We're giving away a laptop, a printer, pack of paper, and the printer is 6 months worth of ink, and that's going for $50.
Wow. So folks have a great options. I mean, some of the prizes that you're talking about, I haven't seen in raffles in a while. And so I want to encourage everybody to make your way out there. She's going to be out there all day, y'all. So from 8:30 in the morning, clear until 5:30, 6 o'clock. And then the party will be getting started. When is the raffle being drawn?
6 o'clock.
So 6 o'clock is the pivotal hour for the raffle to be drawn. And we certainly hope that if you can't do, please, please, sir, please, ma'am, Cash App her, Your donation, anywhere from $10 to $50 to join the raffle. And then, of course, you can hit her up on Venmo with @Carmen-Finney so that you can also be included. This is a worthy cause. And we have, I know more than a few people who are suffering from some form of kidney disease that are on dialysis. And it's becoming very prevalent in the African-American community. And a lot of people say it's due to diet. Some others say it's due to stress. Some others say it's due to hereditary, your genes, et cetera. But whatever it is, you need to make sure that they are operating and functionally properly. If you could give one line of advice for those to say, hey, look out for this so that you don't end up like that, what would that be?
I would say, just keep praying.
Mm-hmm.
Keep God in your thoughts and prayers. And if by any chance you get like that, always just continue to pray and always say, there's someone out there worse than me.
Mm.
Keep a positive attitude. Keep up. That's all you can do is just keep a positive attitude. Even though you might be depressed, even though you might feel down, but please stay positive.
I you know, I agree with you 100%. I also think that we have to, faith is wonderful, but we also have to, but faith without works is dead. So you need to make sure that you get yearly checkups, maybe even go to a kidney specialist. You came through the Hospital University of Pennsylvania system, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So in that instance, it's great that you had a doctor who might have been able to say, hey, and I know sometimes we're scared to go because we don't want to hear, but you don't want to become critical.
Exactly. And you don't want to wait till the last minute, you know, and because you try to fight it off yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you know your body.
That's right.
And if you're not feeling well,
that's
and
right.
you can't take ibuprofen or Tylenol don't work, you got to take the next step.
That's
you got to take time out of your day and go and see about yourself. You only get one self. You have to take time out and go, like you said, get those checkups, you know, and even go to the dentist. I'm going to have a dentist there. Noble Dentistry is going to be there.
Oh, that's my dentist.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They are my dentist. Yes.
Yep. Mine
excellent
too.
Place. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. I can't begin to tell you. Excellent. Worth the ride to Jenkintown. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're going to be talking about, you know, keeping healthy teeth because, you know, you let that plaque and all that stuff build up. And that you'd be saying to yourself, well, it's just my teeth. But that also affects your
Absolutely.
Body.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I will see them. I will see them Thursday. Lord help me.
Oh, okay. And I'll see you Friday.
Oh, my
gracious. I'll be there Friday.
All right. All right. Well, I thank you so much for sharing about this. Stay healthy on Kidney Disease Expo 2022. We are so elated. And I'm also going to connect you with someone else who had a mom who went through dialysis, but does a yearly event as well. And maybe the two of you can collaborate.
Perfect.
That would be wonderful. I'll be happy to share that information with you. And everyone, you need to get out to the DoubleTree Hotel, Plymouth Meeting, 640 Fountain Road. Come on now. You got from 8:30 to 6, and then the party is at 6. Now, don't come at the party. Come a little bit before. Get a massage. Get a glass of wine. Join in yoga at 1:30. Maybe even hear something about Zumba if you need your morning aerobics. And we're hoping that everyone that will come will be blessed by this effort. If you need to reach out to Ms. Carmen Finney, what number can they reach you at?
They can reach me at 610-457-6294.
All right. You heard the number, 610-457-6294.
Yes, and two more things. I'm also having stuff there for kids. So bring your kids to start at 2 o'clock. It's going to be face painting, a magic show, and balloons and everything. That's from 2 to 4 for the kids
as well. Now, see, yep. And y'all parents can get in on this for 2 hours. Send them kids up over there. Let them wear themselves out, and you get a little treat yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And then if you want, at 4 o'clock, you can do the belly dance.
Oh, my Lord. Now, some people may be making more kids with that, but we're going to leave that alone. Belly dancer. Lord have mercy. She come back home and he be like, where'd you learn that from? Uh-oh. But no, I'm teasing. But thank you so much, Miss Carmen. I appreciate
Thank you very much.
God
thank
bless you.
God bless you as well.
Never could have made it.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, we are so excited that you joined us today. Please join Miss Carmen Finney and her expo out at Doubletree Hotel, Plymouth Meeting. It's going to be a wonderful time. You can even bring the kids. Ladies, you might even learn a little belly dancing. That might be a little plus, although it is post-Valentine's Day. But, you know, sweethearts around all the time. Additionally, we certainly want to thank Councilwoman Catherine Gilmore Richardson, our Shiro, the youngest African-American woman elected to city council, my Sora, my girl's high sister, and my friend. I'm so grateful she shared her life with us today. So, ladies, let's continue to celebrate us. And I want to remind you on this song, we would have never made it if it had not been for the Lord. Give God a thank you and a bless your name. I need you to stay safe, stay well. Until next time, thanks for tuning into the Bishop Mary Show. Love ya.
Somebody just need to testify to something next to him. Tell him, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that can declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have. Never could have made it.
Thanks for tuning in to another dynamic show with Bishop Mary. To contact Bishop Mary, call 833-722-4748. That's 833-722-4748. And she'll get right back to you. Remember, let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show.